Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Today we'll be talking about wisdom from below. Last time we talked about wisdom from above. Today it's about wisdom from below. James 3, 14 through 18. Let's pause as we begin. Let's ask God's particular blessing upon us. Oh, Father, how we thank you for the cleansing flood of Jesus' blood that cleanses us and gives us victory in Jesus. Thank you for this hymn and for many others that remind us of the great truth of the gospel. And Lord, it's our desire now to draw near to you, to open our hearts and submit ourselves to your teaching, to be found willing to obey and do your will in everything, and that we might fully understand your word, what's expected of us, and what to expect in this world of sin and darkness, so that we not go along with it. So bless our time here, Father. We commit this into your hands, and we submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone knows that wisdom is a good thing, but there are two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom from above, and there's wisdom from below. The wisdom from above is from God, and it leads to the fear of the Lord and righteous living. Wisdom from below is the wisdom of godless men. It leads to a selfish life and sinful indulgence. Wisdom from below appears to be wise on the surface, but it is inspired by demons and embraced by sinners to further their selfish, self-serving goals. In wisdom from below, man is supreme. Man is the center of the universe. The highest goal is whatever pleases man. Wisdom from below does not recognize God's sovereignty. It does not recognize God's will or God's glory. Its highest goal is to glorify man. We're going to see today the characteristics of the wisdom from below. We're going to look at its characteristics, and then its source, and then finally its consequences. And so first, let us look. We see the characteristics of wisdom from below. Notice verse 14, James 3:14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Just as wisdom from above is seen in righteous living, so wisdom from below is seen, as it says here, in bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Why does a person experience jealousy? He sees something somebody else has and he wants it. Greed is at the root of it. It's a matter of greed. He wants it so badly that he hates that other person who has it. He's not thinking about other people. He's thinking only about himself. He is the center of the universe. It's your right, we're told. It's all about rights in our society. It's your right. A jealous person has judged that he should have all good things for himself. He knows his rights. Others should have less. Jealousy is cruel. And this jealousy here is called bitter jealousy. It's the word in the original word, it means sharp jealousy. We could also translate it acute or extreme jealousy. Wisdom from below says, get what others have at any cost. Get it. And it hates anyone who has something that that person desires. This jealousy is so intense that it might even destroy the person who has something more. And it can lead to any crime, including murder. That's what jealousy can do. Wisdom from below is self-centered. Man is the standard of right and wrong in wisdom from below. Whatever man wants, that is supreme. Nothing can be allowed to stand in the way of what man wants. The object desired is justification for destroying those who stand in the way. If the jealous person can't buy it or get it righteously by earning it, he will take it by any means possible. In Proverbs 27:4, it says, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? A jealous person will justify lying and cheating or even violence. He wants what he wants, and nothing can be allowed to stand in his way. That's what extreme jealousy is. And another closely related characteristic mentioned here is selfish ambition. Wisdom from below says, you should just go out there and get whatever you want. If you want it, that's all that we need to know. You just go get it. Your selfish desires are more important than anything else. That's what it says. When I ask people sometimes in my evangelism, I ask them, well, what is the purpose of your life? They often have trouble answering it, but they say, well, it's just to be happy. That's their purpose. Their happiness is the most important. Now, if that is your purpose in life, you will trample on every moral principle just to be happy. That is because it doesn't matter what the moral standard is, it must give way to your happiness. In fact, that is the same wisdom of the drunkard and drug addict. They just want one more drink to be happy, one more dose of drugs to be happy. Their goal in life is happiness, their happiness. They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about truth or justice. They only want to be happy. They're just seeking happiness. You see, that's the wisdom of the world. Never mind who you offend. Just do whatever it takes to be happy. That's wisdom from below. Ambition, of course, can be a good thing if it motivates you to accomplish something worthwhile. You have the initiative to get up and do something. But selfish ambition, that's what's mentioned here. Selfish ambition, that's self-centered. The purpose of that is serve yourself. When people have selfish ambition, they disregard others and the needs of others. Their highest goal is personal gratification. Wisdom from below says, just do your own thing. Do your own thing and seek self-fulfillment at any cost. It says, love yourself above all else. Raise yourself up and make yourself look good no matter who you have to offend. Selfish ambition always leads to strife and broken relationships. You wonder why families and husbands and wives can't get along? There's some selfish ambition somewhere there. It's the very opposite of love and sacrifice and godliness. And wisdom from below, the world's wisdom, promotes selfishness. In fact, commerce depends on people wanting more than they need. Advertisers encourage you to indulge yourself in your pleasures. Buy their products and you will appear to be smart and beautiful and successful and all those things. Man's heart is always lusting for more. It's never satisfied. That is the wisdom from below. If you live by that kind of wisdom, you will be disappointed and frustrated, because selfish ambition can never be satisfied. It's only satisfied for a short time, and then it wants more and more. Wisdom from below is also boastful. As it says here at the end of verse 14, do not boast and be false to the truth. Boasting, of course, is self-centered. It's a selfish aspect. It gives no credit to God or others. Boasting claims to be, the person who boasts claims to be the source of all good things. He's wise, he is noble, and he is good and virtuous. The boastful person claims to have all wisdom and all virtue. He wants to call attention to himself. You remember back in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, he walked on the roof of his palace, surveying the city of Babylon. And he said in Daniel 4:30, he says, Is not this great Babylon which I have built with my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? Now that's about as boastful and proud as a man can be. And he had to be humbled for that. And if you remember the story, God humbled him and he was sent into the field to live like a wild beast for 7 years until he learned humility. God will bring down the proud and boastful. And if you think you have accomplished so much and you're so great, then you may be heading for a humbling experience. We are weak and failing human beings, all of us. All we have is from the Lord. If we have anything good, we can give God glory and thanks, not boast about it. We have nothing to boast about. Wisdom from above gives God the glory for everything good. Wisdom from below is also willing to violate truth. Notice again back there at the end of verse 14. Do not boast and be false to the truth. You've heard, of course, about white lies. White lies. That means that you can lie for a good purpose. Adequate purpose, then you're allowed to lie. In other words, they say you can violate truth if it serves your purposes. When we were visiting in Asheville, North Carolina, over the Christmas holiday recently, we visited the famous Grove Park Inn, and I showed you some pictures of that. That was built by a man named Edwin Wiley Grove, who lived at the beginning of the 1900s. And Mr. Grove was in the pharmaceutical business. And he invented a very popular syrup elixir that contained quinine, and it helped to tame the raging chills of malaria, which was a common disease in that time. And he decided it would enhance his reputation and sell more bottles of his tonic if he called himself a doctor. Now, he wasn't a real doctor, but he thought, wouldn't that be awesome? I'll just call myself a doctor. So he called his tonic Dr. Groves Chill Tonic. And he sold more bottles of Chill Tonic than Coca-Cola. He became very wealthy so he could build big things like this lodge. Mr. Grove never went to medical school. He just liked being called a doctor. Wouldn't that be nice? But that was a violation of truth. That was being false to the truth. People say things to make themselves look good. They change the facts to enhance themselves before others. People lie and exaggerate for convenience. They're willing to lie to get what they want. You see, that's wisdom from below, and that is being false to the truth. A Christian must be known for his integrity. If any person plays fast and loose with the truth for convenience sake, then he's a liar and he's not a Christian. People pretend to be something they're not, and that is a violation of truth. Unbelievers resort to lies and deceit, but we are called to be honest. Ephesians 4, verse 25, not that far from our memory verse, Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Very simple. Just speak the truth. And then second, we see the source of wisdom from below. We saw the characteristics of it, and here's the source. It actually has two sources. The first is man's heart. This is where it comes from. Notice verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, the wisdom that comes from below comes from man's sinful heart. Evil resides in the human heart. Wisdom from below says all men are basically good, that there are just a few bad apples. But people are basically good. That's what the wisdom from below says. But what does the Bible say? In Romans 3, 10 through 12, it says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one. There are no good people. Sin has corrupted every human heart. When people commit crimes, the wise people of this world blame poverty and society and the circumstances. No, evil resides in the hearts of men. Society does not cause people to sin and break the law. People do evil things because they are evil deep in their hearts. Jesus addressed that subject in Matthew 15, 19, when he said, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Those things don't come from the environment. They're not blowing around in the air. They come from man's sinful heart. No one has to sin because he's poor. No one has to sin because of his circumstances. People sin because that is the desire of their hearts. The worldly wisdom that says all men are basically good is the basis of most of our traditions in society, if you stop to think about it. We trust in the democratic system that we believe the majority of people will vote wisely, make a good choice. Whatever the majority believes must be right. How could that many people be wrong? That's the common thinking. They say man is good, and man is in fact evolving and getting better all the time. Just look at all of our scientific advancements. And they believe that man can solve all the problems of the world. If we just get together, we can solve all the problems of the world. That is the wisdom from below. No. Man is not good. He is going from bad to worse. He's going the wrong direction. Paul referenced that in 2 Timothy 3 when he talked there about the last times. He says, in the last days, he says, in verse 2, he says, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and the list goes on. And then in verse 7, a little further down, it says that people will be always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. In their best wisdom, they cannot accept the truth of the gospel. They cannot accept it. You know, I heard they were going to stop singing Christmas carols in the daycare centers at Christmas time because that offends the Muslims and the non-Christians. So the little children, 4 or 5, you know, little kids, they're not going to hear Christmas carols anymore, at least in some of the daycare centers. That's the world's wisdom. Wisdom from below. Well, the other source of wisdom from below is Satan. Notice verse 15 here in James 3. James says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. It's demonic wisdom. False wisdom is inspired by demons. Where do these ideas come from? They come from demons. Who is the head demon? Satan. He is behind the theory of evolution. He's behind the fake news and all the insane hatred. And yet people gladly embrace it. Man is a partner with the devil in rebellion against God. Yes, it's that bad. And so naturally, wisdom from below is earthly. It's earthly because it's limited to what man can see and touch. Science is limited by nature to that which can be weighed and measured. Science does not acknowledge any moral values, none at all. It operates in a closed system, the closed system of the material universe. In fact, science rules God out of the picture right from the start. It claims to be objective, but it's not as objective as it claims. It's actually motivated by a godless agenda to elevate man and forget God. And this is not an innocent mistake. People know what they're doing. They love darkness, Jesus said in John 3:19. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When Adam chose to disobey God's command and obey the devil, all his descendants followed in his path. Satan promised Eve that if she obeyed the devil and ate the forbidden fruit, that her eyes would be opened and she would become like God, knowing good and evil. That's in Genesis 3:5. And Eve believed that lie, that she would become like God. And that began the foolish notion that man can be his own God. Science is the new religion, and man becomes the judge of all things. They claim to be objective, but they're not as objective as they claim. Man's heart is motivated by demonic powers to push God out of mind. Wisdom from below is also unspiritual. As it says there in verse 15, it looks at life through man's unregenerate eyes. Unbelievers cannot understand the things of God because they're spiritually dead. People think in purely humanistic terms. They will embrace any theory that pushes God out of the picture. And that's why things like the theory of evolution even exist. There's no scientific basis for the theory of evolution, not a speck. They are slaves to their appetites and their impulses. They are driven by their feelings and their desires, not by truth. What man desires becomes the measure of all things, and whatever man believes becomes the standard of all truth. The majority determines that by wisdom from below. Human philosophies. Where do these human philosophies come from? They're inspired by Satan in man's selfish heart, stubborn selfish heart, and they're acted out by his stubborn will. Man is in rebellion against God, so he always goes his selfish way. As I've referred to before in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is bound by his godless mind and encouraged by demons to pursue his own self-interests totally apart from God. Pleasure is the natural man's highest goal. Pleasure. His sinful inclinations lead him to self-serving conclusions about anything important, and he thinks these are his own ideas. How wise he is that he came to that idea. But all the time, those ideas are inspired by demons working behind the scenes. And finally, we see the consequences of the wisdom from below in verse 16. The consequences. Verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Those are the consequences. Where man's wisdom reigns, there will be disorder and every vile practice. The worldly wise men promise peace and prosperity. Popular politicians promise economic growth and stability. Child psychiatrists and psychologists say you should never discipline your child. That would hurt him. But the Bible says in Proverbs 22:15 and many other passages, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. That's against the law in Finland. They believe in the goodness of man. Let the kid express his creativity and spurn you and disobey you. That's all part of their ideas. But what is the result of that type of wisdom from below? The result is rebellion, anger, frustration, bitterness, resentment, lawsuits, divorce, racial and ethnic strife and divisions, crime of all kinds, and a long, long list of social problems. The world is a confused mess because people follow man's wisdom. Things like trust and harmony and fellowship and love are rare. The United Nations was formed to prevent wars, and that they were supposed to be able to prevent all wars. What's happened? No, the United Nations has become a forum for accusing Israel of all the world's problems and getting the United States to pay for everything. They can't stop even the smallest conflict between nations. They've never stopped a war. It's a joke. Wherever you find disorder, you can be sure that Satan is there to promote it. When God's people begin to pay attention to this world's wisdom, it leads always to confusion and selfish division. And sometimes that happens in churches, sadly. It happened in Corinth. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 11:18. He says, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. When everyone is pursuing their own agenda, there will be disorder and divisions. If you believe Jesus came to make you happy and give you lots of benefits, then you're listening to wisdom from below. You'll be disappointed when everything doesn't go your way, because that's not the way it works in this world. When you believe this world's wisdom, chaos and disorder appear. When people have jealousy and selfish ambition, it will create lots of disorder and lots of heartbreak. And if these attitudes become common in the church, then everyone will suffer and the Lord's name will not be honored. And then your testimony as a church goes right out the window. And that's what happened in Corinth, because of divisions and selfishness. The consequences of wisdom from below are also every vile practice. Now, this is a broad description of every kind of bad result. People who embrace this world's wisdom think it's good for them, but in reality, it leads them into debt and poor health, bad habits, and even addictions. Society, you know, wants to legalize vice, and there's a long list of bad things and sinful things that society wants to legalize. They say, well, you get the extra money, the tax money, if you know how to tax it, you see. And so the tax money makes it worthwhile, for example, to legalize casino gambling and other vices. But actually it leads to more crime and more people having to put bars on their windows for protection. Recently they legalized casual use, I guess, of marijuana in California. And it's bound to show bad results over time. The selfish ways of people leads to broken homes and marriages, children who are in rebellion, the need for more police protection. Taxes go up because we have to pay more policemen to guard our society. More people going to jail. We have to build bigger jails. And of course, those jail inmates have to have their comforts and everything, so it's not just a place where they suffer. They have to be comfortable there. The soft approach in dealing with crime leads to more crime and more lawlessness in every vile practice. The social experts, these ones that go to the university, they know it all, see? And they say man is basically good and criminals should not be punished. No, no, no. They need to be educated so they know what to do. Well, what does this do? It leads to more crime But it's not just more crime, it's better educated criminals who commit more sophisticated crimes and makes them harder to catch. Solomon wrote about that in Ecclesiastes 8:11. He says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. You encourage more crime by not punishing criminals. People never seem to understand why their human wisdom doesn't work. It was supposed to work, but it doesn't work. And so society is divided and confused, and most people are not happy. If it weren't for the Lord, the world would be in an uproar and would soon self-destruct. And that day is coming when the world self-destructs in the tribulation period that is to come. But for the time being, the presence of the Holy Spirit working in believers is restraining evil and keeps things relatively calm. It's amazing that we have things as good as we do. By the grace of God, some of us have come to know Christ through salvation and through His saving blood. We've been forgiven of our sins, and we can serve Him and live for Him. And if you haven't submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do that soon. You need to do that today. Because He is the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins, died in our place, was buried and rose again to save us. And then you need to come and take a stand with us and be a testimony. This chapter ends on a high note, thankfully, for those of us who have wisdom from above. And in verse 18, the end of this chapter, James 3:18, it says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." James brings in the familiar cycle of sowing and reaping. If you want to have a harvest of righteousness, then you have to sow peace. Paul writes about that to the Galatians in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, where he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Things like righteousness, love, and unity come from godly living. Rather than living selfishly, we must consider others. Wisdom from above forgives those who trespass against us. We learn to turn loose of those grudges and those personal grievances. I'm not talking, of course, about crimes that need to be punished through under the law and carried out. We're Christians, we're not pacifists, and we certainly cooperate with the police to see that justice is carried out. I'm simply saying that we can endure personal insults without retaliating. It's not our place to retaliate. God says, "Vengeance is mine." We must build trusting relationships by showing ourselves friendly, by trying our best to make peace. And through this whole epistle, as you know, James has repeatedly emphasized the need for good works. If a person is truly saved, his life will produce good works motivated by a sincere desire for peace. He will be willing to endure those small offenses without trying to get even. Of course, we must not be naive. The worldly wisdom says, if you're nice to them, they'll be nice to you. Unfortunately, it's not always that simple. I wish it were. No, people will sometimes be hateful no matter how nice you treat them. We know that people are selfish and sometimes unfair. And they may even take and twist your good intentions to mean something evil. I've been accused sometimes of coming to Finland to get rich. So we understand how people are. But we can generally live in peace. Not always, but we can generally live in peace and harmony with our unbelieving neighbors if we truly seek peace. And I just love this passage in Proverbs 16:7, which says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." What a great promise. And it's a satisfying thing to know the Lord and to live according to his word, to live according to wisdom from above, and be able to have the discernment to recognize the world's wisdom and to avoid it. We will save ourselves a world of heartache if we first of all know the Lord through salvation in Christ, and then if we abide by wisdom from above and not submit to this world's ways. Amen.